Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Maybe you're right.
Maybe you don't need to talk to me about sex.
Maybe you do control what I'm exposed to.
But maybe not.
Maybe I hear about sex every day.
In the media? From my friends?
Maybe while you're not talking to me about sex, everyone else is. So talk to me. Tell me to wait to have sex.
Because you can influence me.
For help starting the conversations, visit forparents.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
The sound of children playing. Something about hearing children laughing and playing has a way of bringing us joy. When was the last time you played? No children, no work, just stopped and took the time to tap into your inner joy. You're never too old to play. Successful people value their playtime. That's why Divine Arts Productions presents PLAY. Purposefully loving and appreciating you. A weekend specially designed with you in mind to help tap into the big kid inside. There'll be dancing, music, video games, pool parties, fireworks, and so much more. To register, go to iwillplay.org. That's iwillplay.org. Give yourself the gift of having fun. I will play, and I will see you there.
Hey folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused, or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
Hello, I'm Carlton Pearson, author of the book, The Gospel of Inclusion, and you are listening to Ask Life Coach Abe.
Radio show. I once heard a powerful story about a man who stood as truth with such conviction in who he was. He would not be moved. Someone stepped out of the crowd and said, "Are you Martin Luther King?"
heart. I know your pain. I've been there too. I will hold you high while you do what you have to do. I am clear who is standing here. I believe it belongs to you. I once had a powerful story. I used to carry around. I thought it was you. All this time that held my spirit down, but now I know the truth of who I came here to be. You are my angel in disguise, not my enemy. So I thank you for the part you played in this dance we had to do. I give you back the love that's real. I believe it belongs to you. I will lift you up. I'll do what I can do. I see your heart. I know your pain. I've been there too. I will hold you.
Yes, indeed. I give you back the love that's real. You know why? Because I believe this belongs to you. You may have forgotten to share that love with me, but I remember that I am one with the one. I stand in my truth and give you a love that transcends emotions and give you a love that's beyond the intellect. The love that reminds you of who you really are. I believe this belongs to you. Esther Nicholson. At the beginning of that song, it talks about how someone spat at Martin Luther King and he took his handkerchief and wiped it and gave him back the handkerchief and didn't trip. It takes a courage to stand in love. Not the airy-fairy kind of love, the love that reminds you that I'm going to just be the place where God gets to represent itself, represent itself. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. Thank you for tuning in to yourself. The fact that you're here is an outer representation of the fact that you're tuned in to yourself. Because if you don't tune in, guess what? You miss out. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Yes, we're here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern. And that's the official time. Sometimes we go a little bit longer, but we depends on what's happening. We usually finish with the guest around 1:20, 1:30, and then we'll kind of come around and do the final word and final thought, final conversation, and final whatever needs to be finalized. Yes, Bishop Carlton Pearson is joining us today. Great, great, great. Yes, indeed. I am so grateful. I am so grateful. I am your host, Life Coach Ade. You knew that. But just in case you didn't, just in case you're here for the first time because you heard that Bishop Carlton is going to be here and you said, oh, I got to just go listen. Welcome. Welcome home. Welcome home. We started the show off with Esther Nicholson. And the title of the song is I Believe. No, it's not. Yeah. No, it's not. Yeah, it is. Get together. Step through too many things at once. I believe this belongs to you. I give you back love that's real. So speaking of love, show Esther some love. Go to her website address. Her website address is esthernicholson.com. That's ESTHERNICHOLSON.com. If you didn't catch that, Google it. What's the meaning of life? I don't know. Google it. All the answers are there. I am excited about today's conversation. We're taking your calls 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. And all the shows are archived. So right after the show, live show, maybe 10, 15 minutes, you can come back and listen, or you can download it. You can download it by going to lifeconversationsradio.com or go to iTunes. On the Blog Talk Radio page, you can just click the iTunes button and you can subscribe. You get daily downloads of the show because you never know who we're going to have. Sometimes we change it overnight because we're here. We're committed to inspiring you. But yes, what else do I need to tell you before we jump in this conversation? Quite a few things, but not a lot because we've got to get... Let's see. I know what I'm going to do. Let me tell you about how you can reach and join the conversation. There's a lot going on here. And but just trust the process. The number, 347-426-3346. If you have any questions for Bishop Carlton, usually when he's around, you can't even think of questions because just before you think of a question, he answers it. And you're like, oh, there goes my question. But if you manage to buy ask him answering your question before you think the question, 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. And also, make sure you press 1 on your keypad. And maybe if the answer triggers questions, I've got to ask. We're also taking your questions on the fan page. Ask Life Coach Ade fan page. Ask Life Coach ADE fan page. Post your questions there, and we'll get to you. If you can't call in because you're listening at work and you know you got to listen, but you don't want your supervisor to know, just post it on Facebook. As long as your supervisor's not a friend on Facebook, you're a friend on Facebook. But if your supervisor's a friend with you on Facebook, well, then here, we can keep a secret. Go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com, and click the Ask Coach tab. And then send in your questions. Nobody would know but me. You don't even have to use your name, okay? And at 1 o'clock today, 1 p.m. Eastern, or around that time, we have Celestial Moment, which comes in every day, 1 o'clock, around 1, with Celeste Morgan. So stay tuned for that. And, we'll continue the conversation with Bishop Carlton till about 1:15, who is in the house waiting and patiently... Just ready. He's downloaded now. He's downloaded all the information. All I got to do is click install. And it's just going to install into our hard drive, our consciousness. And when you open up that software, woo, your life be different. I definitely tell you, tomorrow, Kathleen Andrews. Tomorrow, we're talking about teaching for a modern day. Don't we need that? That's what it's about. That's what we're committed to. On lifeconversationsradio.com, Lynn Andrews. She's a shaman, a spiritual teacher, a selling author. On Wednesday, we have, I'm flying solo. You know, so we talk about the planetary shift, all the things that are happening, all that's happening right now, everything that's happening is part of the evolution. And I also have CA joining me. She's going to talk about Venus retrograde. why, you know, you may feel not so beautiful right now. So ladies, I don't like my hair, I don't like my face, I don't like my lips, let me go get a breast augmentation. Don't do it. Don't Venus mess with your head. Wait till after Venus and then go enlarge your breasts. Then go do your makeup. Then go do your nails. But anyway, CA will be here. She's the expert. Just a little bit. You know, some of us catch a little bit of something and we run with it. Isn't that what's happening now? Version of the truth. Now, we say it. Anyway, on Thursday, we have Margaret Marshall. We're having a conversation with an elder. Margaret Marshall is 76 years old. Her nickname is Passionate Senior. So she's going to share her story about life and how she keeps going, being on Facebook, Twitter, designing websites and all that great stuff. So make sure you tune in. Go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com, and all the information is on there. We're getting ready to bring up Bishop Carlton. Let me take a quick musical break, and we're ready to do this thing. Let's dance together. Let's heal. Let's transform ourselves, not others. Oh, we got to focus on ourselves. Here's a little something here, because it's what it's about. Where is it? And if you're just joining us, if you didn't know, you're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. In the meantime, let me give you a gift of acceptance, and we'll be back with Bishop Carlton Pearson. You're a gift, but until you give the gift, you never know. Of course, that's India Ree. Find out about her by going to her website address, soulbird.com. soulbird.com. Give the world the gift of acceptance. That's what the conversation is about. My guest, Bishop Carlton Pearson. is blazing a new trail of spiritual leadership on a global scale. With 30 years of celebrated national media exposure, Pearson has demonstrated that he's an esteemed, articulate, and leading authority of the modern Pentecostal church. With the summer 2006 release of his new book, The Gospel of Inclusion, Pearson is quickly becoming known as a voice of reason in a world of religious extremes. That's why he's here. Carl Pearson offers a fresh perspective of a variety of current topics on the hearts and minds of the people. As a charismatic Christian leader, Pearson considers himself a liberal conservative, and his remarkable views on a range of issues, from the Iraq War to gay marriage, while often surprising to the listeners, are inspiring a genuine spiritual conversation to all who hear and speak. We are so grateful, and there's so much more that we can read, and but you know about it. But I wanted to give you just a tad bit. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, I know you're excited. I know you're ready. You can get to it. What's something we need to do before that? So I'm at it now. Help me welcome my wonderful guest, my brother, a wonderful teacher, Bishop Carlton Pearson. Good morning.
Hello, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm great. Good to talk to you. You're doing well?
Yes, I am so grateful. I am better than well. I'm better than wonderful, someone said one time. Thank you for being
here. I'm happy for you.
Yes. Nice to have you back on Life Conversations Radio. And let's do this first question, and then we can jump right in because people are waiting patiently for us to get into the meat of the conversation. I just read a little bit about you and from your website, but from your perspective, from your point of view, who are you? Who is Bishop Carlton Pearson?
Well, it depends on who you're talking to, but with regard to me, I've always, especially since my college days, I've always wanted to impact or change the world, to not just make a difference in the world, but help make a different world where there's less hostility, less war, less violence, and less judgmentalism and intolerance, and to help be a peace broker, if you will, a peace agent, mm-hmm. and a freedom fighter, to help people get free from their own fears and their own misinterpretations of self and even of God, especially how we have misinterpreted the ultimate reality we call God, to give it, or some people would say him, this real anger management problem, then everybody's afraid of him, and we develop all these codes to avoid his wrath, or codes to appease him, or to avoid displeasing him. So it's made the world paranoid, and then we mm-hmm. kill each other, fight each other, demean each other, and make demands of each other that are irresponsible.
Yes.
So if I can help people rethink, I always ask the question, what do you believe? Why do you believe it? How do those beliefs add to or subtract from the quality of your life? Because all behaviors are based on belief systems. So we need to reconsider what we believe and where we came up with these beliefs, because we don't know very much, but we believe too much.
So let's segue into the main topic of conversation. Say, Bishop Carlton, I hear that sounds very good, but I don't deal with my belief. I deal with what's in the book. The book says, book is the truth. And we recently just have our president say he supports same-sex marriage. And that belief thing that you're talking about, I don't agree. I believe what's in the book. That's the truth. What would you say to them?
Well, the book says you shouldn't eat shrimp or catfish, and that women shouldn't wear gold or braid their hair, and this is New Testament, or wear pearls or wear fancy or expensive clothes. That same book that says that a man laying with a man is an abomination also says that you should, if your son is disobedient, you should take him outside of the gates of the city and stone him to death. So the Bible is a book of extremes, and if you interpret them literally, That's why that same Bible says the letter or literal kills. Spirit gives life. People have made an idol of, quote, quote, the book. That's the only thing Bible means is book, biblios, book. Now, we call it the Holy Bible. There's the Holy Quran. There's the Talmud. There is the Bhagavad Gita. There's all these sacred writings, and the writers are considered, you know, icons of God, and they're inspired by God. And I believe that many of them were inspired by what they perceive God to be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't call the Bible the inspired word of God. I call it the inspired word of man about God, and everybody has a different perception. That Bible can be a very dangerous book because there's enough, you can find enough scripture to support any vile, you can support disembowelment, you can dismemberment of bodies, you can support burning whole cities, animals, men, children, babies, wives, that's all in the Bible. If it was made a complete movie, it'd have to be at least X-rated, I mean R-rated, restrictive, and probably X-rated because they've got every kind of risque act that's humanly possible. It's a very, very dangerous book. So we need to reassess what we believe about it and how we use it in our lives.
And even in Leviticus that you're quoting, you know, there's a part in there of Leviticus 12 that talks about if a woman gave birth, she's unclean to a boy, she got to stay away from anything that's sacred, and she's going to remain unclean for 33 days.
Right.
And if she gives birth to a daughter, she's going to be unclean for 66 days, and she has to do an offering, you know. So there's all things that we pick and choose. But so let me share, since we keep going into this conversation, what are your thoughts about the fact that President Barack Obama, when he came out and said his support same-sex marriage?
Well, first of all, President Obama is president, not pastor of the country.
Mm.
He is president of all the people. We believe in liberty and justice for all. He won't impose on gays what was once imposed on his people, black folk, Africans. He wouldn't even be president if he had the same attitude that some of those anti-gay folk have toward gays. Gays is the last, the homosexual community is the last frontier for civil rights activism. And our icons like Joseph Lowery, Julian Bond, even Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, some of the great icons of the civil rights movement over the last 40 or 50 years, have agreed, even including Coretta Scott King, to mistreat gays. If they were just a small segment of the culture, it'd be different. But you have police officers, doctors, dentists, entertainers, athletes, politicians, and a lot of preachers who won't even tell you, and people involved in the Christian world, and some of those screaming the loudest against gays are gay or have fantasies about it and are secret closeted same-sex oriented people. So there's so much hypocrisy out there. But I think that the President of the United States, President Obama, is doing what Abraham Lincoln did when he made a very unpopular and to some people unscriptural decision to sign the Emancipation Proclamation, when the Bible clearly says, slaves, obey your master. There are several references to slaves submitting and being obedient and all that kind of thing. So some Christians believe that Abraham Lincoln, in fact, they left the Republican Party because Abraham Lincoln was a Republican and went into the Democratic Party, because they hated him signing that. Not one person on Abraham Lincoln's cabinet was in agreement with him signing the Emancipation Proclamation. But the worst war, Ade, that was ever fought, where we lost more people, was the Civil War, not the Revolutionary War, the Spanish-American War, the Korean War, World War I and II. It was all those combined. We lost more Americans fighting from the inside than any other war. And it was on this idea of slavery, the Emancipation Proclamation. So in some ways, as we know that President Abraham Lincoln was President Obama's mentor and his favorite president, he ends up doing the same thing basically, categorically, technically and spiritually, that President Abraham Lincoln did in signing the Emancipation Proclamation to give same-gender-loving people equal American freedoms and rights. And I can see nothing wrong with that. The other part is this paranoia that gay marriage is going to infect or affect straight marriage is just stupidity. I mean, there's nothing scientifically or philosophically or even spiritually to suggest that two women who've been living together for 30 years is going to infect or even affect the other straight or heterosexual marriages around them. we've been around these people for years and didn't even know they were committed covenantly, that they had entered these monogamous relationships, and yet it hasn't affected the culture. This is a knee-jerk, paranoid, fear-based reaction to something that is basically harmless to the culture. It may somehow affect society in that you'd see more gay couples and even gay managed families. But that's not going to hurt us. In fact, in many ways, so many young people, children who would have otherwise been in these, in what I call these warehousing of kids, these adoption agencies, not adoption agencies, but the state-owned children's homes and things like that. These kids are suffering all kinds of mental, verbal, and sexual abuse. Then they're adopted out, sometimes into a gay family, and they have a college education. They're reared properly. I've never met one child of a gay couple who was in any way less grounded than heterosexual couples. So we need to reassess what we think about this and salute the president for making this bold step at this very critical time of an election year. I think it's remarkable. You still there? Oh, I lost him, Michelle. And I don't know when.
Right here. Okay, can you hear me? Oh, okay. Well, we lost him now. Well, actually, I think I had my mic muted, and now he's lost him. But he'll come back. We'll come back. Yeah, he's actually, give me this Casper to go ahead and take care of that for me. Casper, you're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Life Radio at its best now. Take a breath, and we'll come right back. We didn't take a break. No, we won't take a break. We're just going to do this. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. I was actually talking, but yes, they didn't hear me. But here, I'm here, and Bishop Carlton will be back in a sec. I have no doubt about that. We're taking your questions. We've got some questions emailed in already. We're going to try and squeeze all of it in. Wait a minute. Yes. I think I'm here. I am here. Okay. Let me make sure everybody calm down, including myself. Woo! Yes. Let's see. You can also post your questions on the Ask Life Coach at a fan page. Ask Life Coach at a fan page. Bishop Carlton is back. Everybody's all good. It's okay. It's just part of the shift. It's okay. All is well. And we also ask that you share the show with your friends and people you know. You can share it right now. You can click the like button. And tweet it or text it and tell them to listen and join the conversation. Bishop Carlton, we're back. We're together. I hear you. Okay.
I don't know when I lost you or you lost me. So I don't know where
I heard everything you said. I muted myself. So when you were saying that you're there, I was already talking. I'm like, okay, but I muted myself. So it
oh, good. Okay.
You were fine. I'm the one with the issues. Thank God.
Okay.
Lay hands on me, please.
Okay.
You talk about what you share. For me, what it brings up is what is happening right now is really good because the conversation, the anger, the judgment is all part of the human evolution. We're living in a time where we have to talk about these things, and rather than people feeling they have to live in a closet or not show up fully. And I want to ask you, when you talk about the sanctity of marriage, because we hear a lot of ministers, pastors, they talk about the sanctity of marriage. And I want to ask you, pastors, reverends, of who you've spoken to, what do they mean by that? This is why I asked that question. Because I believe they're intelligent, they're smart enough. And they clearly know that right now somebody can ask another, let's just say our opposite sex. So a man can ask a woman, let's get married, and go to Vegas and get married right now. And then 2 days later, they can get divorced. So what are they talking about with the divorce rate so high when they say allowing same-sex married or homosexuals to get married is going to affect the sanctity of marriage? Can you please explain that to me? Because I don't get it.
There is no explanation for it. It's just a borrowed term that sort of makes marriage seem holy, which it is supposed. But the word marriage simply is another word for covenant, commitment. Fidelity, whether that's with, and people are married to their jobs, they're married to their businesses. Many ministers are married to their ministries. Some of them are more married to their ministries than there are to their spouses. So the term itself is a sexless term. but it's a term of commitment and covenant. So in that sense, it is sanctified, which means separated from perhaps other commitments. There's all kinds of ways to look at it. The divorce rate in this country, some counties, is up to 67%. The divorce rate is lowering only because fewer people are getting married. They're just getting legally married. They're just living together, as we used to say in the old days, shacking. Some have been, quote-unquote, shacking for 20, 30 years. Now, because you hear it on television that people getting pregnant outside of wedlock, oh, we're going to get married in 6 months, or once the baby is born, or we're planning. They're already married, and they're icons, they're stars, they're entertainers, or they're involved in drugs or alcohol abuse or something like that. You don't hear these same preachers slamming them, and these singers or entertainers are supposed to be Christians, or they go to church. They get up and accept their Grammy Award or their Emmy or their whatever, and they say, first I want to thank God. I want to praise God. He gave me this talent. Yes, I use pot. I use drugs. Yes, I screw around. But God gave me this talent. Everybody claps, and, you know, he's first in my life. And I believe them when they say that. I don't judge them anymore. But they have this whole approach to inclusion as it fits selectively into their fears. The scripture says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So these people who are reacting in fear are not responding by faith. And I've been around all day. I've been ordained for 40 years. So I know the hypocrisy with preachers. I oversaw 600 churches in my fellowship. I've been involved in religion all my life. I have uncles and grandparents who were hypocrites when it comes to the quote-unquote the sexual sins. So these preachers blowing and going, I hear them, but I also know them categorically. And I just don't trust the hypocrisy behind it, because some of the same people railing against gays have gays in their ministry, on their staffs, in their family, whom they do not mistreat. In fact, they accept the tithe and the offering and the talent from gay people, whether that's at the organ or in the pulpit, teaching a class. It's like, don't ask, don't tell. That's the church thing. Okay? Everybody in there knows he's gay or she is, but they don't ask and they don't tell. One time I said, don't ask, don't tell doesn't mean no ask, no tell. Excuse me, you can edit that out if you want to. But it's happening in the church world. It's happening in these. I've been around it all my life. So I'm to the place right now, well, I can't tolerate this kind of superficial, shallow approach. When you know these people, he may be your doctor and he's gay, your dentist and he's gay, a police officer who is gay, the guy at the Walgreens pharmacy, or the woman who serves you in a restaurant or at the grocery store clerk, or an entertainer, an athlete, a school teacher, a school principal, a superintendent of schools, a congressman, a senator, a judge, a police. You have gay police officers, firemen. Gay people are everywhere. We can no longer put our heads in the sand and act like they don't exist. Homosexuals and homosexuality are not going away. Deal with it. Don't denounce it. Don't deny it. Don't denigrate them. I have members of my family who are gay. My family physician is gay. I don't throw these people away. I have had preachers and their children come to me privately, of course, and ask me to pray with them, or to cast the devil out of them, or to tell them what to do. I can't tell my daddy. I can't tell my mom. Or I've had men say, I can't tell my wife. Or a woman say, I can't tell my husband. I've been having this affair.
Wow.
I'm privy to information that I would never divulge specifically, with specificity, publicly. But I know, and I've been dealing with these things for 40-some years, so I have a different attitude about it than I had before, even though I preached against homosexuality and homosexuals in sin and all that stuff. It didn't do nothing but hurt folks.
And that's the thing, and I think we need to think about what we teach, what we say, because on one level, the same people who are saying it's wrong would also say, there are some of this men who are on the DL, on the down low. So now, if they're in a place where they're told what they're doing is evil, and they don't know how to tell their wives you're sharing, then of course they're going to be down low. So where's the space for people to show up so we can have a real conversation and understand it? You know, it's... We have some questions here, but if we're going to speak to that.
Well, the reason people are on the down low or in the closet is because if they come out of the closet, I used to say, don't come out of them closets, clean them closets. But I hadn't sat down and had conversations with these with gay people who say, okay, tell me where you are, sir. Tell me what you're thinking. No, do you have a safe space to talk to me? What do you mean you're not attracted to a woman at all? What do you mean when you say you have no sexual affinity toward females or to a female, that you don't want a man when you are a grandmother? What were you thinking when you had those children? And I'm not asking those in an indicting way. I'm not interrogating them. I'm saying, tell me, sweetheart, I don't know where you are. Let me hear what you say because I want to feel you.
Yes.
And they open up and I go, oh, my God, I didn't think about that. I understand human sexuality. Human sexuality can be easily bisexuality. But people have preferences and people have orientation. Your orientation is to be sexual, to be sensual, to be social, and to be spiritual. Then there are different preferences. Anybody that says, they ain't born gay, they ain't born that way, they choose. That person is saying that they have made a choice, but that they could have gone either way, but they chose to be hetero.
Right.
And they don't realize they're saying that, you see.
Right. Right.
My last conversation with Oral Roberts, they ain't born that way. Ain't nobody born that way. They make a choice. Well, that means you can make that same choice. That means you have the capacity or the propensity to make a choice to go either way. That's what that person is saying, and they don't realize they're saying it. They're exposing themselves publicly to being possibly bisexual. Now, when my last conversation with Oral Roberts was 3.5 hours long because his first son, committed suicide around his gayness and his substance abuse. And his grandson, two of his grandsons that I know of are also gay, and they've come to me. One of them has. In fact, I'll be blessing his union here in just later on this week. And that startles people. But I've blessed Barnes, babies, banks, businesses, plant people have asked me to bless their plants and their pets. So
indeed.
Why can't I bless this man that or woman that are entering a monogamous covenant of fidelity rather than running around doing destructive things in these bars and contracting all kinds of diseases, not just AIDS but other STDs, sexually transmitted diseases? And there are more STDs than there are people with AIDS. There are more people suffering with sexually transmitted diseases from the nursing homes. They go to some of these senior places, and there were a bunch of widows in there, and they are just going at it, and they've got more diseases from AIDS to other sexually transmitted diseases. So this is a reality. I'm not complimenting it. I'm just saying this is a reality we've got to deal with. We suppress sexuality. You're not supposed to look at a woman to lust on her. Well, that means your sensual desires. You're not supposed to look at a beautiful woman or man to admire. And how do you distinguish between admiring and desiring? If you work out in the gym with a guy that has a body that's flaming, his abs and his biceps and triceps are just muscular and sharp, or same with a woman, and you're trying to get the same kind of abs, you're looking at that body, you want those muscles. Whether male or female, you want that chiseled, refined, developed body, and you don't have it. Yeah. First, you want it sensually. If you study it and fantasize, you can want that body sexually. People aren't going to tell you that, but that is just the reality. A woman who's looking at another woman in a workout room, and she's got a beautiful body, whether it's her breasts or her bottom or her waist or her muscles, she's not necessarily sexually desiring, but she is sensually admiring and desiring. And so in our human sexuality, relationship can start out emotionally, having a conversation. Maybe she's divorced. Maybe they're both divorced. They're struggling with their finances, and they decide to move in together and bring the kids in there. And eventually they have joint accounts, and they work together, and maybe they don't have a lot of money, so they end up sleeping in the same bed. And I'm not justifying. I'm explaining a reality I've had to deal with in my life in the ministry. Why are you – so y'all sharing a bed? Well, I never thought anything about a woman sleeping in a bed with another woman. You do think about that with men because it's less common.
Right. Exactly.
So why do we afford women the same rights we don't afford men? You know, two men have moved in, brought their kids, and sleeping in the same bed. So what y'all doing in there? You know? like my grandma said, what y'all doing in there? That ain't none of your business what they doing in there, you know. But we do in our society – categorize quote unquote sins or habits. So after, I'm going to be 60 on my next birthday, and I've just learned a lot, watched a lot, observed a lot. And the final thing I'll say is that when you look at the Bible, you have to understand that it is a Jewish book primarily, written by Jews, primarily to Jews, about a Jewish concept of God. Now, that doesn't invalidate it, but that does associate it with a certain religious discipline. And I'm not denying or denouncing it. I understand that Christianity is a Jewish religion. The whole idea of Mashiach, the messianic consciousness, comes out of the Jewish teachings. So a lot of those things are inspired. A lot of those things have now expired. They are irrelevant to modern society. That doesn't make God irrelevant, except that right. perception of an angry God who demands these moral codes and that exactly. will kill you and burn you and torture you if you don't live up. That's a fantasy, fairytale-like God. In the yes. deepest recesses, yeah. recesses, reaches, and rhythms of consciousness, there is a reality that some of us call God, but it's non-distinguishable. It's the God you can experience without knowing, and you don't have mm-hmm. to know this God to experience or express that divinity. It happens automatically. Like, you don't have to know air to breathe it. You can experience air. You can experience rain. You don't have to know it intricately. How can finite beings know infinity the way we expect to know? We can.
Indeed, because life itself is a mystery. So let's get back to some questions here. There's some lots of emails that we have. We got word from the street. So I'm going to summarize this email that I just got. This is from Larry. Larry said, so if you hear me say blah, 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 Larry, it's not that I think what you're saying is relevant. I'm just narrowing down as I'm doing the show live. To you it is anyway, so I'm not discrediting that. So Larry said, because I want to stay with just with this question, and then I want to broaden this conversation, Bishop Carlton, because I believe that, you know, Christianity or the Bible is one way that we use to hide our own biases, because we're so polarized about this thing. But I think even people who don't consider themselves Christians or don't go by the Bible can't even find where the scripture is. They have their own bias. And I want to expand it, but I want to deal with this question and then we can move on to that area. Larry said, I believe Bishop Carlton omits the cross in his preaching. Inclusion may work for us on earth, but to get to heaven, that is a gift from Jesus by getting ourselves saved by his blood. Therefore, common sense tells us inclusion does not match with the
Michelle.
Evidence, the blood. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. So the question is coming up where he's saying that, he's confused about the gospel of inclusion, because Larry is saying this gospel of inclusion doesn't mean everybody doesn't go to heaven. And so he's putting that under the umbrella of homosexuality. Can you speak to that? And then we'll broaden the question on conversation more about people who don't even look at it from a biblical perspective.
Well, first of all, he needs to read the book, The Gospel of Inclusion, before he can discuss it. And because a lot of the questions he raises are answered or addressed in that book quite scripturally
right.
and quite practically, and I don't have time as much time on the live interview to do it. But I will say this in a blanket statement, and this is scripture. As in Adam, the first one, all men die, so in Christ all will be made alive. That God forgave the sins of all in Christ Jesus. He forgave all sin and all sinners, whether they know it or not. Our position as gospel preachers or teachers or advocates, we who preach the good news, we tell the sinner their sins. Now, this is the Christian perspective, that their sins are forgiven, already washed away, that they are positionally already saved and safe with God. They just don't know it. The good news is that the bad news is all wrong. Now, if you just get into a bunch of scriptures and break it down, you can get very confused. But the general blanket
right.
mission of the cross and of the Christ was to redeem not just Christians or Jews, but humankind from
right.
the perceived wrath of God.
Right.
And he did that in what we call the finished work of the cross. The whole world is already saved. They just don't know it. And the church has been irresponsible and giving them this incredible news that there is no issue between you and God that hasn't been already resolved in Jesus. Now, that's why all these folks, Jesus is the Savior of the world. He's not just the Savior for the world. This is Christian doctrine. He is the Savior of the world. That God in Christ reconciled the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them. That's in Corinthians. God was in Jesus Christ reconciling the world, not the church, the world to himself. Not, the King James says, imputing, which means computing or counting up men's sins against them. So, and then where sin abounds, grace abounds more. So if you call homosexuality or stealing, robbing, all of those sins, where sin abounds, grace abounds more, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. Our sins are forgiven, but not only ours, this, John says, the sins of the whole world. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's John 2. But not for ours only. That's where inclusion comes in. But for the sins of the whole world. Now, you can either be a universalist and believe that the finished work of the cross covers the cosmos, like death did with the first Adam, life does with the last Adam. Not the second, because there's not going to be a third. The last Adam, whom Christians teach is Christ, whom Scripture declares is Christ. If Adam sinned and people automatically die, whether they're Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist, gay, straight, dry, tri, bi, whatever, whether agnostic or atheist, they all die because of one man, according to scriptural doctrine, Adam. Then the last Adam came and fixed everything the first one messed up. Now, why do people believe in the Christians believe in the first Adam more than they believe in the last Adam? The one who asked the question, it's a legitimate question, but he believes more in the first Adam that brought death than he believes in the last Adam that brought life. You don't have to confess Adam to die. You don't even have to believe in the scriptures, the Bible, or even God, but people die every day. Well, whatever regardless, even believers die. You know, or we, some people say transition. They did. They in the grave. Okay?
Right.
Now, we believe in a resurrected consciousness or that we transition to another level of consciousness that we don't ever really die. But, you know, I'm just using semantics here. So all these folks die automatically, whether they believe in Adam or not. So, but the last Adam is less powerful than the first Adam? The last Adam didn't go to Calvary for anybody's sins or wasn't resurrected. That Adam died. This last Adam, I'm talking Christianese now. The last Adam, Jesus, covered all the sins of the planet, the world. Christians think that Jesus just died for Christians. There were no Christians when Jesus died. Jesus wasn't a Christian. He was a Jew. And Buddha wasn't even a Buddhist. He was a Hindu. Muhammad had Christian roots.
So Jesus really is a master of inclusion. So if we really follow Jesus' teaching, we'll be teaching and living the gospel of inclusion.
Absolutely.
Yes. I got another question here from Bruce. He said, this is a question for Bishop Pearson. If God is all-knowing and all-good, why would he create human beings who have an attraction for the same sex and then call it a sin?
Excellent
I wonder if that's
question.
A rhetorical question.
Excellent question.
A question.
Why would God make why would God create a dog to bark and then kill it for barking?
No, that's right.
That's a very legitimate question. When you personalize personalize God and apply to him what we call anthropomorphic attributes, God with eyes and human attributes, a mouth, ear, God that gets angry, God that cries, God that sits, God that spits, God that, you know, belches and burps and has emotional tantrums and has anger management issues, and God that needs counseling, God that can't sleep and he's restless and he's a male and all this kind of stuff. Once you start with that, you create a monster that's out of control, that's ubiquitous and invisible, that's out there somewhere throwing darts at you, making a list, checking it twice, going to find out who's naughty or nice. Human sexuality is a part of human genetics, human biology, human physiology, human reality. It's an act of creation, if not creator, a singular personal God that creates black folks and Chinese folks and Japanese folks. We don't understand all that. We just know we're here. We know that we have appetites and desires. And again, you cannot talk about homosexuality without talking about human sexuality. In fact, we would do better to just keep our attention on human sexual appetites. We have a strong, one of the strongest appetites a human being has is for food, air, water, and sex. And somewhere in that category is love,
mm-hmm.
not money.
Mm-hmm.
So those are uncontrollable desires. We have to breathe and have nutrition in our bodies. And we can't live without love. And we are here because of sex.
Mm-hmm.
Sex is not always an expression of love. It's an expression often of lust, just lust.
Right.
You know, people got to have sex. One of my friends, you said, brother's got to have it. Brother's going to have a marriage. He, brother's got to have it. You know, people got to have sex, and they do. Animals have to have it. It's part of procreation. It's part of creation and procreation and for the posterity of the human race and for the animal world. So we are sexual
right.
beings. Now, the sensual and social aspect is more delicate, that we have sensual attractions to other human beings. We like to look at people. We call it people watching. People sit on the streets and just watch the throngs go by. They study their earlobes and their nostrils, their nose and their eyes and their thighs and their hips and their lips and their tits and their heels. And, you know, we look at people. We look at what they're wearing. We look at what they're not wearing. We look at how they walk, what their ethnicity is, what their size and body types are. All these things are interesting. That's people watching. That's sensual attraction. Just like all day we notice a BMW or a Lexus or a Ford or
yes.
a Volkswagen, and we look at trees, and we drive in certain neighborhoods, and we centrally look at homes. We buy architectural design. We buy, you know, National Geographic. We like to look and centrally go to museums and go to the shorelines and go into the mountains and look at it. That's sensual. Then there's that incredible social attraction where we want to be with other human beings. It is not normal.
Right.
Neither is it natural to want to be alone all the time. You want to be with other people. You want to get on the phone. You want to email, text. You want to actually physically be in their presence. You want to look at television. That's a social attraction, and it's unavoidable. It's irresistible. And, of course, the sexual attraction is natural. I don't even have to break that down. Anybody knows what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So social, sexual.
Exactly.
And then spiritual attraction is almost indefinable. We have a spiritual attraction and association with and to each other that is unavoidable, and it's natural. It's just here. We are spiritually one with all living entities, from a plant to a person.
Right.
Why is it when you're driving down the street and a little squirrel or rabbit runs or a dog, you immediately slam on your brakes? You don't want to hit it. You don't want to kill it. Now, you might eat it when it's fried later.
I know that's right.
But you don't want to kill it.
I know. Yes, yes, yes.
You know,
there's a
so we're just
there's
beautiful
a comment
people.
Here. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Would you say there's a comment?
Yeah, there's another comment here, and I want to read this one, and then we'll come
Please
back
do.
And just kind of – I wanted to talk about – Well, let me read the comment first, and then I'll come back to it. Let me go here, got all this tablet I'm tapping on over here. Okay, so there is, which I really don't believe in, but this is my personal opinion. This man, he's from Sierra Leone. He said that there are no gays in Africa or where he's from. He said they will be killed. Then
that's why they ain't
not
there.
No, we can just stop right there, right? So
yeah.
When he was asked the question, he said there was none that will be killed. Then he refrained and says they don't have gays that there, so there's no problem in Sierra Leone. In Sierra Leone, and then he goes on to say only in America, and only in America are there gay people. He said because they are crazy. This is people who are outside the country, well, living in the country, but from a different perspective. So no, God made you that way. God made man to love a woman. He said he was mad at President Obama when he made that. But his idea is where he's from, it's just not possible. I mean, you've pretty much spoken to it, but I'm really sharing that. This is some of the thoughts that people are having, which even goes beyond religion.
Let's not be tactful. Let's just say that's the kind of ignorance and self-righteous arrogance. And it's really more ignorance than anything that causes a lot of hatred. Of course they're gays. If they're human beings in Sierra Leone, I know people from Sierra Leone. I know people have been to Sierra Leone, and there are gays there. Do you think they're going to tell it when they kill you? If they know, of course they're in the closet. The president of Sierra Leone, leaders of state, you know, The gentleman who called may be preoccupied with it, or the letter,
mm-hmm.
Because usually the ones that cry out like that are dealing with private, powerful
yes.
Desires in their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like an atheist saying, "I don't believe in God." When an atheist says that they don't believe in God, I take it to face value. But I say, "Well, what God don't you believe in? Describe to me
yes.
the God you don't
mm-hmm.
believe in." Now, they either make up something or they imagine something, and usually you say, well, when you get through with that, I don't believe in that God either. But that God that they say they don't believe in does exist in the mind of certain
yeah.
people who perceive God that way. And that becomes their mm-hmm. reality because thoughts are powerful and creative. They're even inventive. You can literally invent your own God.
Right.
And believe in
right.
that God and act out what you think that God would desire. Or if you think God is angry, then you're going to be angry if you worship that God. If you think God is jealous, then you're going to tend to be jealous. If you think God is wrathful, then you're going to be wrathful. If you think God is intolerant of certain things, then you're going to be intolerant of certain things. Your perception of God manifests itself in your character and in your consciousness. So we have to rethink what we believe about God. And what we believe God to be. God made man to have sex. I don't even say God created us anymore. I say creation brought
mm-hmm.
about what we experience in the natural world, the physical world.
Right.
Creation.
Right.
Because if it's just a creator, a one God that's up there doing stuff, I'm pretty disappointed in that God. The Earth Project is not
right.
working very well. He screwed this stuff
mm-hmm.
up really royally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he made a lot of mistakes when he made lions and he made flies and he made mosquitoes. Now, scientifically,
mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes, yeah. amoebas. You know, he can. Now, scientifically, the scientists can explain why fecal matter exists and why there's good
mm-hmm.
and bad bacteria and why
mm-hmm.
people have to eliminate things from their body, whether that's spit or something else. Why
mm-hmm.
we have mucus that runs out of our nose, and there's earwax, and there's these unpleasant parts of the human anatomy and the less flamboyant. You know, but for people to say that God made blacks to be tortured or Chinese to have, you know, those slit eyes and to be a billion living in China and for them to have what they have, and God decided that would be a communist country and all those people would go to hell. And God created them to be born over there and not be Christians and not allow Christians to live there. And though, of course, I've been to China, I've been to the underground church in China. But to think that God's up there orchestrating things with that kind of specificity, that
mm-hmm.
God allows a Chinese kid to be born and then aborted, born and then killed at 6 or 16 and never hear Jesus and go straight to hell and die by the hundreds of millions over the years, a God that creates that kind of warped concept and planet is a sick God.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just
mm-hmm.
say that. But yet we have been believing in and preaching this pathological God, who in some ways is a pathological liar and has his son killed and bludgeoned and tortured so that he supposedly can forgive a few Christians. No Jews, you know,
mm-hmm.
Hindus. Just a few Christians, and if you look at Mel Gibson's concept of the crucifixion, which was even more horrendous than I'd already been thinking, Jesus paid a huge price for these few little Southern Baptists that he might save, or a few little Pentecostals, and a few little older Methodists or something like that. I mean, this whole concept, we got to rethink it. I know I sound very sacrilegious, and I don't want to be religious. I don't mind being sacrilegious when it comes to this because religion has screwed up this planet in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
misinterpretations, or I would say wrong or inaccurate interpretations of a so-called God, it's made people psychotic. If people study history and read, go to the internet, look up stuff, just listen to the History Channel, where they're now telling us things we didn't know about Christianity and or religion, the dastardly things we've done over this the millennia to other human beings, from the Inquisition to witch hunting to what we've done to gays over the years, what we've done to people of color over the years, to people who were perceived non-Christian. The word crusade Latin word is for crosses, cruz. That word, to especially the Muslim world, is a very violent term. Constantine is said to have seen the sign of the cross in the sky, and it was told that by this sign you will win. So the crosses were on the shields and the war battle fatigues that people wore in those days. You know, what they wore for fighting. They fought under the sign of the cross. And the cross, to a large portion of the human culture, is a sign of violence and killing and murder, not of love. You don't even think about Jesus. But right. The cross itself is a symbol of violence, crucifixion, asphyxiation on a cross, one of the most horrible ways of the ancient world of execution. So to people like us, it means, you know, salvation and deliverance and redemption and the love of God. But in many ways, it represents a he's in a crux from the word cross. I'm in a real crux. In other words, I'm in trouble. Yeah. I'm in torment. I'm threatened. I'm in peril. This is not good. a lot has to do with symbols and images and semantics, how we verbalize things, how we perceive things, and how we interpret what we perceive.
Mm-hmm.
Everything starts and stops with how you interpret life, how you interpret words, how you interpret experiences, how you perceive. Perception is the ultimate reality, but not always the ultimate truth. It's just how you perceive something. If you perceive God as angry and judgmental, and that God cuts people off and cuts people down and then kills them and then tortures them infinitely, weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth while his mercy endures forever, but his torture endures forever. That right there is a dichotomy.
Right. So it's really about thinking. And you know, it's interesting. I want to take a break. And when we come back, I just want us to come back and share with us things we can do, because it's about human evolution. It's about our own understanding. It's about rethinking, as you said earlier, about what we believe and what is true and what is our understanding of God. But I find it interesting that people say God didn't do this. God, you know, they know so much about what God did. And if we're so wise of what God is doing or not doing, why is the state of the planet the way it is? I mean, if there's just one person, you know, if they really know God, I mean, how can you even say you know what God is doing? Once again, God, for me, I see God as this. We talk about creation. Who understands creation? Because if we did, the world won't be the way it is. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want you to just come, when we come back, just sharing things that we can all do individually, because we collected info from our conversation from people on the street, and there's all this. People are just regurgitating what they heard, a lack of understanding.
Right.
And
right.
Just what we can all do to rethink what we think, what we believe, so that we can be free, because we become that we judge. So, so this is really an opportunity for us to all grow, and this is for our soul salvation. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. My guest is Bishop Carlton Pearson. His website address, to find out more about him, is Bishop Pearson, BishopPearson.com. Check out his website and all the work. He's going to be here in Atlanta next week. He's doing a lot. And just kind of, you know, this is a time to think. God gave us a brain. So think. God gave us a mind. Use it. 347-426-3346. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back to just kind of talk with Bishop Carlton. And let's do that. And let's do this. And that. Let's bow. Tell them why they need to come back and keep listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
As a matter of fact, I'll change that to it has changed your life. If you're listening, you are not the same. You're not the same person you were before you started listening. And you've got to keep coming back. You've got to follow the show. Find us on Facebook. Why? Mark Victor Hansen will tell you why you need to keep coming back.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
the sound of children playing. Something about hearing children laughing and playing has a way of bringing us joy. When was the last time you played? No children, no work, just stop and took the time to tap into your inner joy. You're never too old to play. Successful people value their playtime. That's why Divine Arts Productions presents PLAY, Purposefully Loving and Appreciating You, a weekend specially designed with you in mind to help tap into the big kid inside. There'll be dancing, music, video games, pool parties, fireworks, and so much more. To register, go to iwillplay.org. That's iwillplay.org. Give yourself the gift of having fun. I will play, and I will see you there.
Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be.
Holy way. Let me live in the holy, holy way. And when that becomes your prayer, you're less interested in what other people are doing. You're more focused on your own soul salvation. You'll remember and recognize that you become that you judge, and you become that you praise. Well, it's about evolution. It's about transformation. It's about willing to see differently, to change your perspective in life, your perception in life. Of course, a miracle says a miracle is a change in perception. Change your perception, and you've experienced a miracle. My guest is Bishop Carlton Pearson, and a powerful spiritual teacher, the author of Gospel of Inclusion. And if you need any more information about Gospel Inclusion, pick up the book. Now, I'm not talking about the Bible. I'm talking about his book. So then you get to find out what he means. It's inclusion. That's all. I bet people who were talking about, Bishop Carlton, people who were saying God didn't create homosexuals, I bet if they're dying and they need an organ, and then they find out that the person who matches them is someone who's over. I bet they're not going to reject the organ and say, no. They ain't going to turn it down. They'll be like, Lord,
good
I want to live.
If you're hungry, if you're hungry and a gay person offers you food, if you need money and a gay person offers you, or a gay couple offers you money or a place to stay or food, people change when they get in situations. They see there's certain things people say, I wouldn't dare eat that. But if you're hungry enough, you will. So, that's a very wise approach to say, if you go to a restaurant and you know your waiter is gay, are you going to get up and leave? If the person appears the male, maybe it's a male and he appears more feminine, or it's a female and she appears a little bit more masculine, maybe her hair is cut short and she kind of has this attitude, would that mean you're not going to eat the food, or you went to a store and the clerk that was taking your money or selling you the goods, or you had to go to a loan agent at a bank, or you rushed into an emergency and you had broken a limb and you noticed that the orderly was gay, Would you say, no, don't touch me, I'm bleeding, I just got shot, or I was in a car accident, I don't want no gay people around me? You know, that those kind of questions have to be asked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go into emergency, mm-hmm. and your doctor, my doctor has a partner, not only gay, but has a partner, been living with the partner for, I don't know how many years. Now, if I was rushed in, and he worked in emergency in the hospital in Tulsa for years. If somebody came in there, and I saw him deal so gently, and I told him, because he was a member of my church, he needed to be pastoral in the emergency room. He's dealing with people that are desperate and frightened, and you need to lovingly talk to them, look them in the eyes, gently walk them through this trauma of their lives. Minister to them when the person dies, and you have to tell them, be gentle, don't be cold. And he, to this day, attributes my counseling with him about that pastorally, about how to be a pastor in the emergency room with his gentle tact. Mm-hmm. They love him everywhere he goes. Now, who would judge him because he has a same gender lover, partner to whom he is now married?
Mm-hmm.
See, you have to take these things into consideration. The police officer that protects you, many of the police officers are closeted gays. But they have the badge, they have the authority, they protect you, they watch out for your life. And they could, suppose you got into a domestic squabble with your with your heterosexual partner, as many do, and the police officer who got there was gay, and you learned it, and he protected you from getting your head whooped again.
You know, you picked up my thought, because I'm saying, can you imagine somebody call emergency 911 and say, I need help right now, but please don't send
a gay
police officer. Don't send a gay paramedic, because
it's
a gay
want
guy
the ambulance,
as well.
Yeah, make sure the ambulance driver is straight, please, before they bring the ambulance. I don't want no gay firemen on that engine with it when they come. My house is burning down, but make sure they all straight. Ask them. Look up their records.
Oh, God, what we do as human beings. I mean, there's so many things we don't even know about. And if we don't have of it, it will blow our minds.
Oh, my God.
As we get ready to release the show, I was talking earlier, just what can you leave with us that we can individually, Christians, Buddhists, spiritual or not, atheists or whatever, what can you leave with us that we can do individually to give ourselves the opportunity to know that there are some things we don't know, and there are things we don't even know we don't know. And by allowing ourselves to sit with that for a minute, we can be different. What can we do to get to a place where we are more accepting, more compassionate, and we can live the truth that Jesus said, love one another, love your neighbors as thyself. He didn't say, accept their gaze.
Well, do some self-reflection and contemplation and interrogate and excavate yourself and your soul. See what's really there. Ask yourself what's working for you and what isn't working for you. And what are you working on, or what's working on you, not just for you? What's really eating you? It's not what people eat, it's what eats people. Where are you? And ask the question as we open the discussion with, what do you believe? Why do you believe it? And how do those beliefs add to or subtract from the quality of your life, of how you experience yourself? Because life starts and stops with how you experience, express, and ultimately expose yourself. When you lay your head on your pillow at night, even if your spouse, wife, husband, or partner is laying beside you, you still have to ask yourself, how did you enjoy yourself? Did you, we often ask that question, if you tell me you went on a trip to Vegas or you went to South of France or you went to a concert or a movie, did you enjoy yourself? It always starts and stops. Did you enjoy yourself? Not the concert, not the preacher, not the sermon, the song, not the book, not the movie. How did you experience all day? I ask myself, when I get through preaching and praying and singing and ministering and doing, when I come home, okay, how did you enjoy yourself today, Carlton Pearson? When you lay, I did that last night. I installed a pastor early in the morning. I preached my afternoon service. I came home. We cooked. We ate. We ran out and got my son from the airport. I mean, when everything was finally finished, I had to lay my head on my pillow and say, you still like you? How'd you do it? You're going to sleep with you tonight, so how you doing? You going to sleep with your enemy? Mm-hmm. Are you denying yourself? Are you fighting yourself? Are you demeaning yourself? Are you real harshly harsh and critical of you? And I had to forgive mm-hmm. me of some things. I had to kind of sort. The scripture says, he restoreth my soul. The Greek word for soul is psuche, where we get the English word psyche or psychology. We leave parts of our soul, Ade, in a conversation, in an email, in a text message, in a movie we saw, in a conversation we had, in a thought. And we can be very fragmented beings. And if you lay down fragmented, you're going to wake up broken and fragmented. So it's best to restore yourself and your soul every night. That's part of my devotion. That's part of my meditation every night. So I can wake up whole and not have these horrible nightmares that people have and night sweats and all this crazy stuff that people go through. You need to cleanse and purge yourself and reevaluate your self-esteem and self-worth when you go to sleep at night. That's very powerful.
Yes. So really, and those of us who say we're for same-sex marriage, don't waste our time trying to educate people who are so fixed in how they, what they're doing. Because at the end of the day, we're going to end up with ourselves. We're going to be in bed with ourselves. We're going to outlive our lives with ourselves and just really focus in on how am I today? What do I believe? Why do I believe
sure.
it? And how does it affect
sure.
my life? Yes, yes, yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. And progressive enlightened people who are evolving and involving, inwardly evolving, they expand their consciousness and the reach.
Mm-hmm.
They become more limitless people, unlimited, living out their infinite being, their infinite purpose, mm-hmm. their infinite logic, that which has no end, no finish. It just keeps on growing and extending and expanding. The rhythms and the vibrations and the regions and reaches of consciousness expand in them, and they're free. And when and people around them become free, they're not judging themselves and judging everybody and hating themselves and miserable beings. Miserable beings make people around them miserable, and they people run from them. You know, some people can come in a room, they're so negative, when they enter the room, you feel like somebody got up and left. What just happened?
No, that's right.
The energy shifted.
Right. Yes, yes, yes.
So love
come
yourself,
in, someone
listen.
Says,
love, okay. My final word, love yourself, listen to yourself, be friendly to you, be your own mm-hmm. best friend, and your life mm-hmm. will change.
Indeed, indeed. Is there anything you want our listeners to know about what you're doing next, an event that's coming up that you want to share with
anybody
us?
Anybody in the Atlanta area, I need to see you next Sunday morning at there's two services. I think one's at 9 and one's at 10 or 10:30 at the Hillside Center for Truth.
No, it's 8 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock, and then 10:30.
Okay, you give the address because I want you there. Let's pack that place out. I'm there this Sunday. I'll be there again on Father's Day, and then every second Sunday in July, August, and September. So I want that to be Inclusion Day. That's Let the Church Say Amen Day. Let's come and live out and walk out our – I want everybody who comes to experience themselves at a higher level of awareness.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Bishop Carlton, I am so grateful for who you are. Thank you for saying yes to life. Thank you for showing up. And thank you for being bold enough, courageous enough to be willing to speak the truth and rather than settle for the other conversation and just be an example of what we're all here to be, to speak the truth and show up. We truly appreciate you and look forward to seeing you on Sunday at Hillside Chapel and Truth Center.
Can't wait to be there. God bless you, my brother. Thank you, and to all who listened. Peace and blessing to all of you.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much. Woo! Life is good. It's getting better. Yes, for those of you who are in Atlanta, or if you're not, just book your ticket right now. You get a 7 days discount, I think. It's Hillside International Chapel and Truth Center. That's my church. The address is 2450 Cascade Road, Southwest Atlanta, Georgia, 30311. If you need some more information, the number is 404-758-6811. 404-758-6811. Ah, wasn't that a delicious soul food we just had? Are you full? I am. There's so much. You know, there's so much. There's so much. Life is so complicated. But once we accept and see that life is complicated, it becomes simple because we realize it's so big, expensive, it's so mysterious, I will never understand it completely this lifetime. So then you can trust the process. It's about loving oneself.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Celestial Moment and continue the show, final words, final thoughts. And the show, as I said earlier, will be archived. You can download it, listen to it again, and, you know, have a conversation with people. There was a time where blacks and whites couldn't get married. It was illegal. Can you imagine that? Nowadays, we think that's the most ridiculous thing. It's time to relax. It's time to be the love that we're looking for. It's time for us to share the love that we don't see. It's time for us to be the bridge between Republicans and Democrats, between the conservative and the liberals. We're all conservative. We're all liberal. We're all in the middle. It depends on what the issue is. Let's live a little. Let's take a break. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. We're here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern, and all the shows can be downloaded, as I said, is archived. And make sure you check us out on Facebook. There's a Life Conversations Radio fan page. There's an Ask Life Coach Ade fan page. So we do everything. We take regular updates. And our new shows, Here to Inspire with Aisha, and then My Authentic Lifestyle with Mo Love. You know, we're just doing our thing, teaching the truth as we understand it, spreading the love as we know it to be. It's time for you to do the same. We'll be right back.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life. Life Conversations. Committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage. Make that move. Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
If you think depression is all in a person's head, you're right. It's a brain illness. And like other illnesses, it has symptoms. A person suffering from depression might feel sad, empty, or numb. They might sleep more or less, eat a lot, or not at all, or show little interest in participating in ordinary activities. Mood swings, including anger and sadness, are common. They're often tired and have a hard time concentrating or making decisions. Depression can make those who suffer from it feel hopeless. It can even lead to suicide. If you see the symptoms of depression, get that person to a doctor. With medical help, depression can be treated and suicide can be prevented. Learn how to stop depression from taking another life. Call SAVE, Suicide Awareness Voices of Education, 1-888-511-SAVE, on the web at save.org.
Life Conversations Radio. Giving a voice back to the community. 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 To the community.
Yes, indeed. Life Conversations Radio, giving a voice back to the community. Activating your throat chakra. Activating your power. Supporting you to stand up and show up and be the change you want to see. We need each other. Go beyond your belief system. Beyond your thoughts. Beyond what you read in a book. Take time to be with yourself. Ask yourself, who are you? Who am I? What is breathing me? I'm breathing in and out, and I'm not even having to think about it. The blood is flowing through my body. I don't have to do anything about it. Well, okay, God is doing it, but who is God? What is God? Is God really a man? Is God a woman? Is God something that can't be defined? Ask yourself deep questions. And from that space and that place, you have no choice but to become more compassionate, because the deep questions help you become more understanding. When you understand who or what you are, and you know you're so much more than what you can define with words, compassion just rises to the top.
And even if you disagree with something, you can be compassionate with your own self. And if it's not you, you can be compassionate with those who disagree. You can be compassionate with those who are so, they just insist on making people wrong. They want to prove a point because they can't sit still long enough to get the answer for themselves, and they want to go after everybody else teaching truth, inclusion. If you have issues with the gospel inclusion, go talk to Jesus first and then come back. Ooh, did I just say that? I did. You know why? Because it's all about love. It's time for a Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. We're here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Folks, I know you know this for your life. There's so much going on behind the scenes. And we got to learn not to sweat the small stuff. You got to learn not to sweat the small stuff. Sometimes it's challenging. Let's just rest for a moment and get ready to release the show. And, because there's not much to say. It's all been said, hopefully, so let's be able to get through this. I'm glad I don't have to come behind the show. Well, actually, it doesn't matter. We just need to be who we are. That's all that matters. We just need to do what we need to do. So, Celeste, how are you doing, my friend?
You set me up.
Okay.
I am great, I am on fire. Yes, you know what? I am happy to follow behind Bishop Carlton Pearson. That's my brother.
I know that's right.
We cut from the same cloth, little does he know. But, no, really, it was a wonderful show today. It was wonderful. Thank you so much for starting our Monday right, you know?
Oh,
getting
yeah, well,
started
thank
with some
for
fire.
Your role in it. I'm just throwing it over to me. Thank you for making it happen. Thank you for your role in it. It's a co-creative experience. So, yes, that I receive it, I accept it, and I thank you for being part of creating it. Okay.
Well, thank you. I receive that, too. Yes, yes, we're all receiving. Everybody's got open hands now. So,
yes.
You're ready for the gift. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. I come bearing a number gift, and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. It's Monday, May 21st, 2012. Add the date, and you get 2038. Add 2038, and the energy of the day equals 13. People have some strange thoughts about the number 13. It represents fear for many. However, there are some unexpected treats to unwrap when we take a look at what's hiding underneath 13 that traditionally shows up in the tarot cards as the death card and a coyote in medicine cards as the trickster. Let's add one more time. 1 + 3 = 4, and that's where we're going to put our focus today. The fourth letter of the alphabet is D, and words like dream, dance, and disco, in honor of Donna Summer, of course, connect us to the magical power of 4. Let's find out what happens when a treat of 13 really turns out to be a treat. We find a deer for gentleness in medicine cards and the emperor in tarot, which is all about leading with authority. Bring the deer and the emperor together, and we're talking about compassionate power. So, the deer was eating one day and heard a quiet stirring in her heart. She's heard this sound before. It's a call to return home to herself. She looks up excited. Great Spirit is calling me. Now, the story goes that a big old monster also heard the call of Great Spirit. This monster thought it was the only one who could hear Great Spirit. Its life's mission, it decided, was to protect Great Spirit from visitors who would disturb. So with its ugliest face and loudest scream, the monster scared everyone from the path of Sacred Mountain. But the monster didn't know about the fire in the deer's heart or the love either. Deer stood in her power and said, "Please let me pass." The monster screamed again. The deer stood blinking with knowledge and experience, and that mixture makes wisdom. With an emperor heart, she decided that she would obey one command. When she heard Great Spirit say, "Dear, come to me," she answered a sacred yes with a nod of her head. She could not be frightened. Love is the strongest force. Dear teaches us to use the power of gentleness to touch the hearts and minds of wounded beings who are trying to keep us from Sacred Mountain. So, when Dear filled her heart full of all that love, that monster didn't know what hit it. Its body shrank into a size of a walnut, and the path was cleared for all. Let's not choose sides today.
Let's remove all blocks we have to the path of love, starting with the roadblocks we have on ourselves. We are not free to pass until we love the monster within all of us. And that's the story of 13 Shadow Side, the Emperor and the Deer. All is well. I'll see you on Tuesday around 1 for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Celeste Morgan. Thank you so much. Yes, indeed. That's the number one religion. If you really want to be religious, if you want to be spiritual, learn to love yourself. Learn to love the monsters within you. Learn to be gentle with life. You know, when we come to that time, actually, we're going to take a call in a minute, but I want to say this. You really think about it, and part of what I'm saying, I'm preaching to the choir to some people, but I'm not just narrowing this down to just the same-sex relationship, because the same-sex relationship is just a topic to activate people's judgment, sense of separation, and all other things that we all go through, because the people who are judgmental, they are one with me. I am one with them. I have my judgment about something that they might not have a judgment about. But let us all be compassionate. How do you be compassionate when people are being mean? Well, you do your inner work. You be the light when it feels like you're surrounded by darkness. And being the light doesn't mean you become a doormat. You get to speak your truth from a place of inner groundedness without trying to make anybody wrong. That's how you be the light. And being the light doesn't mean you stand. If there's too many people just going, they just want to be light, you can just say, you know, I'm going to excuse myself. But we don't have a choice. I'm going to take a quick break, and I'm going to take a call, and we'll get ready to release the show. You're listening to Ask Life Coach at AonLifeConversationsRadio.com. It's such a blessing to have you, Electra. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Wendy, Tamara Joy, Tamara Spiritual Midwife, and let's see, CC, and all the people that I can't see. Those of you that are listening on the phone lines, others that are listening on the archive or online, thank you all for tuning in. We're going to take a call when we come back. We're going to take a quick break, a very quick musical break. Just going to take care of some things here, and then we'll be back. Let's see, what do we want to do? Let me do this first, because I'm feeling this. This is the truth of our identity. The identification called you is I am that I am.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
Yes, indeed. We are wonderful. We are whole. We are free. You know that? You are free to live life fully. And even if you choose to judge, you're free to do that too. But guess what? It affects your body. When you judge, toxins are released in your cells, and it becomes a disease. So why not choose love? Why not choose to praise? Why not choose to be the light? Why not choose to be the creative one? We're going to take a quick break. This is I Release and Let Go, because that's what it's about. When you release, you can release the toxin. You can let go and let God and be the light that you're looking for. We'll be right back. Nikki Harry.
In my life, I thought I had to do it all for myself. I didn't know the grace of God was sufficient, and I didn't know the love of God was at hand. But now I can say, if you are discouraged, struggling just to make it through another day, you got to let it go. Let it all go. And this is what you have to say. Say, I release it. And I let go. I let go. You have run my life and my heart.
I am only here for God. Singer on that is Nikki Harris. That beautiful song written by Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith and Ricky Byers Beckwith of Agape Spiritual Center. Their website address is agapelive.com, agapelive.com. Make sure you check them out. Earlier we played a bit of Holy Holy Way. That's also a song by Michael Bernard Beckwith and Ricky Byers Beckwith. Check them out if you don't know anything about Agape. I want to say you're missing out. Yeah, you're missing out. You're missing the opportunity to transcend your belief system. So check them out, agapelive.com. Unconditional love is in action. And, yes, time to release the show. And we lost the caller, so we're just going to just release the show and with a song from Bishop Carlton. We just got to let it be. Maybe we need to do change because we're talking about change. This is so much more than an election, you know. We think it's because of an election, trying to win that vote. It's so much more. It's about change. It's about the human evolution. Can you imagine 100 years, 200 years from now what people will be saying about this time? And then your children's children's children will be saying, oh, we remember back in 2012, there was a debate about same-sex marriage, and people were mad about it. Look how far we've come, they'll say, just as we say it now. You don't even know half of what's really going on. Life is a mystery. We don't understand it. We don't understand it. But when we remember that we don't understand it, we can release, we can let go, and we can say, we're here. We can say that too, but I'll just clear my throat. I'm only here for God. So I release and let go. I surrender. I'm surrendering the show. I'm releasing the show. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio. Yes, indeed. It's where change begins and you certainly make a difference. Now you've been charged. You've been initiated to be the light, to be the love. The love is so powerful that transforms people's consciousness. That without saying anything, you show up and healing takes place. What's that like? Well, take some time to cultivate a loving relationship with yourself. Cultivate a loving relationship with God. And when you cultivate a loving relationship with yourself, guess what? You're cultivating a loving relationship with God. But if you don't really know how to cultivate a loving relationship with yourself because you've got so much issues, your life has been hard, cultivate a loving relationship with God. And then you automatically just start to feel that love. It's one and the same. Be love because it's who you are. Be true to yourself. That's why you're here. And just as important, be loved. Allow the love to come back to you. Allow the light to shine through you. Say yes to life. Embrace it all, the good, the bad, the I can't even talk about it. Embrace it all because it's all for your personal growth, your spiritual transformation, especially when you remember that everything must change. You are changing. Your skin is changing right now. Some parts of your skin is dying off. New skin has been created by creation. Yes. Bishop Carlton Pearson, his song, Everything Must Change. We're releasing the show. I'll see you tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern, and Lynn Andrews is my guest. We're talking ancient teaching for modern world. Are you ready to be the change you want to see? Start now. Peace and blessings. Bishop Carlton, bishoppearson.com is the website. Everything
Albert Einstein said, no problem can be solved from the same consciousness that created it. We must see the world anew. When we apply this quote to our lives, we see that we cannot create abundance by staying in the consciousness of poverty. Nor can we gain a sense of power in our lives while identifying with ourselves as a victim. And whether our intention is to change ourselves or some element of the world around us, we cannot simply wish for transformation or hope that our lives will be altered through circumstance. If our patterns of thought and behavior remain unchanged, our lives will continue to unfold much as they have previously. Making change, managing change, and mastering change is on the agenda of all who expect to remain relevant and relate to this new season in the universe and in time. Wayne Dyer puts it this way: when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Everything must change. Nothing stays the same. Everyone must change. No one stays the same. The young become the old, and mystery do unfold, 'cause that's the way of time. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. There are not many things in life can be sure of, except rain comes from the clouds, the sun lights up the sky, and hummingbirds do fly. Winter turns to spring. Wounded heart will heal, but never much too soon. Yes, everything come the old, mysteries do unfold.
Yes, they do.
'Cause that's the way of time. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. Comes from the clouds, the sun lights up the sky, farmer's ground is plowed, people live and people die, yeah, but still we can revive. We must always try. Seasons come and go, winter brings fresh snow. Summer beaches foam. You
Better than where you've been. And the good news is that the bad news was all wrong. What's coming for you is better. I tell you, it is better. Oh my God, it is better. You don't have to worry about a thing. Don't you worry. Don't you worry about a thing. Why? Because I ain't got a thing. Everything's gonna be alright. Gonna be alright. You better hear me. You better receive this. Rain comes from the clouds, the sun lights up the sky, and this music makes us thrive. Thank God for this change.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.